Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Vangelos Mirlis. I'm a PhD student in NUI and CMO, and I'm doing my PhD on the fabrication of ultrafine grain emulsion for full color holography. My supervisors are Nick Phillips and Hans Belhagen, and also members of the group are Peter Crosby and Darren Green. We decided to put up this presentation so to let you know what are we up to this period. Today I'm going to talk about color holography briefly and then discuss about the silver halide and other materials, go through the emulsion fabrication and show you the results, discuss over them, and hopefully there will be time to have some questions. Color holography is the most advanced image technique known to science. Not only records in 3D, but it can record color quite accurately enough. The possibilities of color holography are endless. In display color holography can be used for advertising, teaching, visualization for medical and other applications. Conventional holography or digital holograms can be the thing of the future. Also, holographic optical elements, HOEs, are becoming increasingly important, and it will be a great advantage if we can have them in full color for head-up displays, holographic lenses, and mirrors. Color holography, it's a very demanding imaging technique. It requires a very high resolution material, high diffraction efficiency, and high sensitivity as possible. There are quite a few materials out there that can be used for color holograms. Photopolymers are quite good, but they have low sensitivity and they are difficult to acquire these days. Also, dichromatic gelatin have low sensitivity and sometimes very difficult to handle. Photoresist essentially is a two-dimensional material, and photorefractive crystals as well, besides the low sensitivity, they are very expensive and very difficult to find. On the other hand, silver halide is the most promising material for full color applications. Have higher sensitivity than the rest of the fine grain materials, high diffraction efficiency and resolving power, relatively low cost, and we have the ability to record full colors. Although there are some flaws with silver halide, the most important one is the scattering of the blue light from the silver halide crystals, the limited linear response, and the wet processing. The first one is the most significant one. What happens is like when blue light hits the emulsion, if the crystals are far too large, they will scatter and they will cause noise. This example here demonstrated with a few pictures. In the first picture, we have only a glass plate. In the second picture, we have a ultra-fine grain material, 10 nanometer. And in the last picture, we have a fine grain material of 50 nanometer. And we see how the scattering takes place when we illuminate with blue laser. All that haze will be recorded as noise on the final hologram. And as we are not able to record blue holograms, we will not be able to record color holograms as well. And this is a very significant problem. It's the most important problem for silver halide. Silver halide have been used for the past 150 years for photographic applications, and it is ironic that at the moment there are not available, commercially available silver, ultra-fine grain silver halide material. There are a few materials around. Slavic is perhaps one of the best, but there are variations from batch to batch, and that make it less than ideal. Visanti produce some very good plates, but they are produced in laboratory scale and they are not distributed. Color holographics, on the other hand, and Fuji, they produce monochrome material, whereas Agfa, Kodak, and Ilford, the Sys manufacturer, even though they never produce ultra-fine grain materials. Color holography desperately needs an ultra-fine grain silver halide material that is going to be robust and reproducible. And Silver Cross Project aims to solve that, to tackle that problem. Silver Cross Project, as Nick said, it's a European project that was set up a couple of years ago. There are several partners. These, together with us, and Vivid Components are from UK, Klaus Pibas from Bulgaria, Geola from Lithuania, and Christos Stoyanov from Germany. And now if we go through the muscle fabrication, as we make the muscles here in CMO, we can separate the muscle fabrication in three separate stages: the precipitation stage, the washing stage, and the coating stage. During the precipitation stage, the four main ingredients are added together: potassium bromide, potassium iodide, they are the highlights, and silver nitrate, the source of silver. All of them in photographic gelatin. The precipitation stage is the most important stage. You have to be very carefully controlled. It should be very accurate as the chemicals are mixed together in order to achieve the fine-grained emulsions. By the way, those photos are a little bit taller. They were taken from the beginning of the project. At the moment, we use pumps. At that time, we were using specially created funnels where they were dispersing the liquid in a certain way. After the precipitation stage, we place the emulsion into a very cold temperature of minus 25 for 24 hours, and the emulsion freezes. Then we remove it from the low temperature and we leave it to thaw for about 12 hours. And essentially, the emulsion is washing itself in its own water. The excess water is drained out and is ready for melting and coating. The emulsion is turning into liquid slowly. We're melting it at 40 degrees to discourage any ripening. And once it's fully dissolved and filtered, spectral sensitization and hardening takes place. We got a few plates at each batch. We don't have machines, we do it manually. We dispense about 8 ml of emulsion at a 4x5 plate using syringes to avoid any air bubbles. And then using gravity, we spread the film on the plate. It's a difficult technique. The result depends on the dexterity of the person who performs the coating. It cannot be used industrially, of course. But for our case, for the emulsions that we're testing, is all right. If I can go through the discussion results, this project is a two-year project. At the moment, we have about 6 months to go, and we keep on developing and testing our material. We have a very good progress up till now. We managed to record blue holograms, as you can see, bright blue holograms and bright color holograms. And by the way, if anybody is interested, later on I can demonstrate some samples of our emulsions, some holograms. Here you see some TM spectrograms that we took. We were taking from time to time, just to check where the grain size is within the 10 nanometer range that we are looking at, even though the holograms themselves, they can say that because they are scatter-free and very bright, but also you can see that from the pictures that the crystals, they are 10 nanometer. Another thing we did was that we sent samples of the emulsion to Germany, to Christo Stoyanov, and he tried to coat it with his machine for dichromatic gelatin, and to see whether our emulsion can be coated professionally, used machines. That would be very interesting in case we want to scale up and to go into industrial stage. And the results were very promising. The emulsion coats very well on using those kind of machines. As I say, it's a project that still goes on, and we're still working on that. Although we have the brightness, we have the grain size that we want, at the moment, we're lacking a little bit in speed, and we're working towards that direction. And also, we are trying to come up with a plan about how to scale up and to go into an industrial level. That's all. I thought I was speaking probably too fast. And there's plenty of time for questions if you are interested.
Well, you can see that Irangelos writes a healthy degree of function in this program, which is getting on very nicely. And something will come from this, I'm quite sure. But as I say, the thing to do is to keep an open mind. Also, the one thing that is easy to pass by is the fact we're talking about the collective work of the group working on the Silver Cross. And so everybody's contribution needs to be properly registered and credited. Which,
there's questions that someone wants to answer.
Now, let me...
In your process, you mentioned at one time that you freeze the emulsion and then go. Why?
First of all, to begin with, in order to produce fine-grained emulsions, we found out that we need to dilute the initial gelatin mix quite a lot. And after we finish the precipitation, the emulsion cannot be coated, it's too dilute. So we need to find a way to drain out the water from the emulsion. And the most efficient way to do it is by freezing and thawing. After thawing, all the excess water will go out, as long with all the sub-products and all the unwanted salts that you want to wash otherwise. You can do other things like extensive washing with water or or other techniques, but we found that freeze and thawing also wash the emulsion and get rid of the excess water that we don't need. We look at the grain growth at the final stage before coating, and anytime we do TM, we took TM photographs. We found out that it is 10 nanometer. It doesn't change through the process. The most important thing is to get it right during the precipitation.
So panchromatic for Fuji, not monochromatic?
Yes, it's panchromatic, but it's around 20 nanometers, I think, the grain size, so they cannot properly record blue holograms. Is that true?
Hi, it's Greg Jackson here from Fujifilm. Yes, because of the grain size, which is 30 to 40 nanometers, then there is an intrinsic level of scatter in the blue. That isn't the main reason for having a panchromatic emulsion to produce full color holograms. It's more multiple application.
Yeah. Yes.
And if you have the wrong gelatin, you can forget the whole precipitation. Can you tell us something about the properties of the gelatin that is needed?
I didn't quite understand the question.
The property of the gelatin, which gelatin to use?
Gel properties. We use a standard photographic gelatin from Rousselot. Is that what you mean? I mean, what kind of gelatin we're using? At the moment, we're using standard photographic gelatin from Rousselot. It works quite okay. We have a lot of it, so we didn't need to look for other gelatin. But yes, you can do research on that as well, and you can check other kind of gelatins and other kind of experiment with different kind of properties. And
what's the
I cannot remember out of my mind this moment, but I can let you know during the day. Sensitivity. The target sensitivity is 2 millijoules per square centimeter. We are at about 9 millijoules per square centimeter now. But as I said, we did some research with cold salts and sensitizers. We didn't have that much success now. But that's what we're working on, and we hopefully know what we're going to do and get the sensitivity of 2 or 3 millijoules per square centimeter.
Thank you very much,
Thank you.